Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Hello everyone, welcome back to the ITS Podcast, the best podcast you can follow to keep track on intelligent transportation science and engineering. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. This is a special issue on the recent Intelligent Transportation Systems Conference 2014 that has just happened in Qingdao, China. We have a set of interesting comments recorded on site, plus a fascinating interview to one of the keynote speakers of the event, Professor Matthew Barth from University of California, Riverside. He delivered a fascinating presentation on the role of connected vehicles in sustainable transportation. We also have a very exciting transportation history mini section this time about motorsport and a very interesting newcomer, Formula E, the fully electric power cousin of Formula One. And all of this just for our very special listeners and followers. Let's start. We hope you enjoy.
This is a news mini section for November 2014. As it is traditional, the next year's Intelligent Transportation Systems Conference call for papers has been published during last ITSC 2014. It will be held in Las Palmas de Gran Canaria, Spain. Please check it out at itsc2015.org or this podcast website at itsp.caicei.com. For our Japanese followers, the ITS Society is starting a distinguished lecture series on November 27, sponsored by the Tokyo chapter and the Nagoya chapter at University of Tokyo. It will include a talk on autonomous driving by Mr. Tsuguo Nobe and a very attractive video presentation by Professor Shinpei Kato from Nagoya chapter. If you are any close to Tokyo, you can't miss it, especially if you're a student.
Transportation in History by Mehran Shirazi, PhD candidate at Simon Fraser University, Canada. The roots of Formula One can be traced in the earliest days of motor racing in the 20s and 30s. However, the idea was shelved with the onset of the Second World War. The first Formula One World Championship race was held at Silverstone in England in 1950. A few weeks ago, the newest addition to the racing world started. Formula E, the green sibling of Formula One, is usually known as the world's first fully electric racing series. The main ideas behind it are to help develop electric vehicle technology, to accelerate interest, and to promote sustainability. However, Formula E is not new. Actually, it is far from new. One of the first motorsport rivalries started between electric cars in Paris about 115 years ago. The competition was to have the fastest electric car. Everything started in December 1898 with a 63 km/h electric car driven by a French driver named Gaston de Chasselot-Lebas. A few weeks later, this record was broken by Camille Genazzi, a Belgian race car driver using a Jeantot electric car. A series of record-setting duels between these two drivers happened until an average speed of 105 km/h was reached by Genazzi after only 6 months. Now, the speed of Formula E cars can reach about 240 km/h, which is about two-thirds of Formula One cars. The engine roads and crazy speeds of F1 cars do not exist in Formula E races. Therefore, some F1 fans claim that Formula E might not take over their weekends soon. However, it will definitely accelerate innovations in electric technology, which will result in a much more ecologically valuable legacy compared to that of Formula One. It is correct that the cars are not powerful and fast enough, but Formula E, an idea that went from drawing boards to the streets in China in less than only 3 years, is a brave step, and it is definitely still onto something. It deserves our patience.
Okay, it is now time to jump into a few comments from the organizing committee of the ITSC 2014 conference, we will have Professor Fei-Yue Wang, General Co-Chair of the event, and then Professor Daniel Zeng, Program Co-Chair. Shall we start?
We are now with Professor Fei-Yue Wang. He is General Co-Chair of ITSC 2014. Hello, Professor Wang. Are you satisfied with how this conference is unfolding?
Yeah, so far, so good. I'm very much satisfied because we have made history at this point already. We're going to be the largest ITSC conference in our history, and I'm very happy to see that happens. And so far, the conference went very smooth, very well. Thanks for all the support from the society and from our professions community.
You were talking about that you have had a local strong support?
Yeah, I think this time we have the strongest support from local and the central government in our history, in our ITSC history. The city put a lot of effort to help us to organize this conference, and we have a great facility and a great location, nice view, and of course, nice people, great topics. And we also get the Professor Xiaoming Liu. He's a deputy minister and also in charge of the director of the transportation division, come here on behalf of the Minister of Transportation of China to show the support and to tell us what China is going to do in ITS now, past, and future.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for putting together all these efforts, and I think you must be proud of it because this will be a conference to remember. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, also, this is my hometown, and welcome to my hometown, and I also thank for your support and all others, and I'm looking forward to go to Canary Island for the next year's conference. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Very well, we're now with Professor Daniel Zeng. He is program co-chair of this fascinating conference. Hello, Daniel. Can you please comment on the program of this event?
Hi, Javier. Thank you for interviewing me. ITSC is the annual flagship conference of the IEEE ITS Society. This year's meeting, ITSC 2014, held in Qingdao, China, in early October, was very successful. The conference attracted more than 830 submissions, a record. I believe that we also had a record number of registrations. The level of participation and interaction among conference goers was very high. Starting with the first day of the workshop, many sessions had been very well attended all the way to the last day, the very end of the technical program of the conference. I think most of the meeting attendees will agree with us that we had an excellent meeting with great keynotes, high-quality technical papers, and very meaningful interactions. Some program highlights. ITSC 2014 is truly international, with submissions coming from 37 countries. We had 63 parallel sessions in total, plus 2 tutorials and 9 workshops. We also experimented with a new industry track with a good number of submissions and great participation at the meeting. On behalf of the ITSC 2014 Program Committee, we would like to thank all the authors, the reviewers, the associate editors, the invited speakers, the session chairs, and the organizers of the affiliated workshops and tutorials, the attendees and local chairs, and the conference volunteers to make ITSC 2014 a great success. We look forward to an even more successful ITSC 2015 in Spain.
Well, Daniel, I think you have good news. I think you have just won some elections recently. Can you please comment on that?
Well, I'm truly honored to be elected as president-elect of our society, starting in 2015. I really appreciate the support, encouragement, and friendship from the IEEE ITS Society colleagues and the ITS leadership team. We are a growing society in a growing and exciting area of increasing importance and societal impact. Under the leadership of the Executive Committee and Board of Governors, as a society, we're making great progress on all fronts. We could not ask for a better time to be a ITS researcher and to build together a strong and bright future for the ITS community. I'm very excited to serve as the IEEE ITS Society President in 2016 and 2017, and let's work together to ensure that the strong network of ITS friends and activities that have been built in the past decade will expand robustly in the years to come.
Okay, very well. Thank you, Daniel, and congratulations. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Now get ready for the main course of today's menu. A really interesting and illustrative interview to Professor Matthew Barth on the keynote he just delivered. He will talk about connected vehicles and its relationship to sustainable mobility. We'll start now. Lean back in your armchair and have fun.
Hello, we are again with Professor Matt Barth from University of California, Riverside. He is Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering and also Director of the Center for Environmental Research and Technology. Matt Barth is a regular at the ITS podcast. He is our interview today because he has kindly delivered a fascinating keynote speech at the Still Warm ITSC 2014. The title of his keynote was The Role of Connected Vehicles in Sustainable Transportation, Issues and Research Opportunities. Well, let's skip the classical self-introduction, quite unnecessary in your case, and let's jump into this challenging and exciting keynote. Matt, to help our listeners to follow the rest of this interview, can you please explain what is connected vehicles?
Sure. Thank you, Javi, for the question. Connected vehicles are vehicles that are essentially connected either to each other or to the infrastructure. So it implies that we have communication means so that we can have this vehicle-to-vehicle communications as well as vehicle-to-infrastructure and infrastructure to the vehicles. And so when a vehicle is connected, then he has access to the internet, he has access for safety messages and many other things that really enable the cars to do a lot more.
Okay, thank you. As I said, you run the Center for Environmental Research and Technology. As you spoke in your keynote, connected vehicles, that super trendy research field, can clearly help out with greener mobility, which seems what you pursue in your center, right?
So that's right, Javi. We have a transportation systems research group that really has a number of different projects that take advantage of connected vehicles. And so we really focus in on using the connected vehicles and creating applications that are beneficial for greener mobility. So reducing energy usage, reducing CO2, and also reducing pollutant emissions. Our research center actually looks at those issues, but looks at other issues as well. We have an emissions group that measures the emissions from different types of vehicles and tries to understand better their impacts on air quality. We also have a number of different groups that look at new kinds of fuels, so new biofuels and other fuels that are less carbon intensive. And then another group within our center actually looks at the formation of pollutants in the atmosphere. So all these different groups work together to help solve these common problems.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there is enough funding for green mobility in connected vehicle research programs?
Well, as you know, the connected vehicle research programs in the U.S. and in Europe and other places really has a key focus on safety applications, and that's important. There's also a number of different connected vehicle applications that look at mobility issues. And then, of course, there's the environmental applications as well. So if you look at those different areas, obviously safety has the larger amounts of funding to support that development. But, I think in general, we're going to see more and more applications that are going to be focused on the mobility and then also the environmental issues. So I'm hopeful that soon we'll have more funding that can support the green mobility as part of the connected vehicle program.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Well, one of the potential ideas you exposed in your keynote was about travel demand management. What does it mean? Do you mean to use connected vehicles as a sort of prop vehicles to estimate traffic demand all across the network, or would it be needed to have, you know, an all-connected scenario to have accurate data to fine-tune traffic management optimizing criteria considering emissions, energy, etc.?
Well, you mentioned traffic demand management. So one of the things that we constantly battle in our research is that we develop new techniques, and connected vehicles is one of them, always has the potential to improve traffic flow and make it easier for a person to drive. And what we're concerned about is the induced demand effect. So if it is easier and more convenient and faster to go from place to place, that might encourage and add additional trips and additional vehicles on the road. And so if we do connected vehicle research that improves mobility and improves these different aspects, then we have to have a means of having some kind of management of all that. And so really that's what I mean by travel demand management. It has to be some kind of either pricing structure or some other mechanism so that when we deploy these different applications that are beneficial for mobility and the environment, we must make sure that we're not generating more traffic. So there are different traffic management programs that deal with that, and a lot of them do rely, as you mentioned, using feedback from connected vehicles. So if you have connected vehicles that are providing information on travel flow and traffic density and things like that, that data can be used in real time to help manage the demand. And so I think these two things can go together very easily.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, Matt, many are working on the transportation electrification everywhere. We recently interviewed a good example a few episodes ago, Jeff Allen from Drive Oregon. Matt, could it be a prerequisite or what you propose is propulsion technology independent, as far as cars are, you know, somehow connected?
Okay, well, you mentioned transportation electrification, and so, you know, if you look at things like electric vehicles and plug-in vehicles and hybrid vehicles, you know, if you look at the deployment now, many of the auto manufacturers are already deploying these electric vehicles that are already connected. And the main reason that they're already connected is that they're collecting information on the performance of those electric vehicles. So, you know, if you have if you buy a new EV, for example, that's going to be connected to the internet, which is going to be useful to the driver for things like figuring out routing, perhaps finding the closest charge station. Those capabilities are already built in. And at the same time, the manufacturers are sort of monitoring the vehicle to see how well they do, and they can use that information to improve the vehicle's performance. So in a way, electrification and electric vehicles are already connected in the sense when we talk about connected vehicles. The other sort of aspect of electrification, when we talk about connectedness, often people think too about how do we charge the vehicles? How do we provide the energy, the electricity? And so a lot of people consider that to be a form of connected vehicles, is plugging in so that we can get energy as well as information.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Matt, you also talk about eco-friendly traffic light signalization. This seems interesting. What is it about? LED lighting and solar panels for every traffic light or something else?
Well, Javi, it's, you know, traffic light signalization research takes on many different forms. And so it's not really about solar and LED lights. It's more about how can we adjust the traffic signals and the traffic signal control so that, you know, vehicles and traffic flow a lot better, and so that they don't pollute as much in terms of greenhouse gas emissions and pollutant emissions. And so that's what we mean when we apply connected vehicle technology to traffic sync, traffic light signalization. And so there's different ways of doing this. One is if you know from the connected vehicles what the traffic flow and density is, you can use that information to adjust on the fly what the traffic signal timing should be. You can also provide traffic signal phase and timing information to the cars as part of a connected vehicle connection. And then the cars can use that to adjust their speed as they approach, go through, and then depart from these signalized intersections. So there's a number of different applications that are focused on traffic signals, again, taking advantage of information that flows back and forth between the signals and the cars themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, we now need to make a very short break. We'll be back in a few seconds, so please stay tuned.
Hello again. We are running a campaign to grow an email distribution list for communications between the ITS podcast and its listeners and followers. Please type in your internet browser itsp.ciei.com/?p=552. itsp.ciei.com/?p=552. Please join us. Thanks for listening ITS podcast. And now let's get back to our interview.
We're back with Professor Matt Barr from University of California, Riverside, talking about his recent keynote at ITSC 2014. Matt, do you think public authorities are doing their best to fight global climate change? I know that the West Coast of the U.S. may be exemplary in some aspects with this regard, but I bet you have a wider picture of this. Have we, scientists and engineers, failed convincing rulemakers and policy administrators about the emergency of the current situation?
Well, Javi, that's a difficult question. So I think there is still a lot of activity in trying to understand the implications of transportation and global climate change. But there's pretty clear evidence that, you know, we have some things going on that we have to do something about. And so, you know, in the past few years, there's been a lot of focus on mitigation techniques. So how can we change our transportation components so that they are less carbon intensive? And as I mentioned, I think previously, that comes in the way of building cars that are more fuel efficient. It comes with using fuels that are less carbon intensive. It comes with programs that actively try to reduce the amount of travel. And then lastly, it also deals with system operations on the roads. You know, can we make systems, the traffic systems, more efficient? And that's really where ITS comes in, is that last aspect. But, you know, in addition to these mitigation techniques, I think a lot of funding now is being pointed at adaptation. So if we think global climate change is happening, what can we do to adapt and sort of build in the resiliency that we need for our transportation systems? So we're seeing more and more funding that's going towards that area in addition to the mitigation techniques. So, yeah, it would be great to see more research. There's still a few unanswered questions, and we'd like to do more. But part of it is convincing and have sort of a unified opinion on what's going on with global climate change with our rulemakers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are reaching the end of this interview. Matt Barth is also president of the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, mother society of this fantastic record-beating conference we are having here in Qingdao, China. Well, Matt, what are your impressions about this conference we are celebrating?
Well, we're in the middle of the current ITS conference here in Qingdao, and it's been a fantastic conference so far. This is our largest conference that we've had to date. We've had well over 800 papers that have been submitted, and we have quite a number of presentations and papers that are part of the conference. So it's our largest one, and the venue has been fantastic. We're here in Qingdao, and we have very nice facilities, and we get to hear about all the new research in this intelligent transportation field. So it's good to hear, obviously, from the Europe side, the U.S. side, and certainly a lot of papers, too, from Asia, particularly here in China. So it's been really informative in terms of what we're learning about what's going on in this field.
Mm-hmm. And one final question. What is the society doing that is new?
Well, Javi, in the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society within IEEE actually is doing a number of different new initiatives. So one thing is we're starting up a Enhanced Distinguished Lecture Series, and this is where we have different chapters within our society promote these distinguished lectures that students can come to, members can come to, and really learn about some hot topics in the ITS field. And so we're having our first one actually in November in Japan, November 27th. And that's sort of going to be our kickoff of our distinguished lecture series. But we expect to have this, on the west coast of the U.S., east coast of the U.S. We're going to have a couple in Europe. We'll have a few from China and other places. So we're really looking forward to, going to these different locations and then promoting these lecture series with, again, students and anyone else that wants to learn about ITS. In addition to these distinguished lectures, we have other things going on as well. We have our regular conference series. We have our regular publications. Another thing that we're going to add pretty soon is another transactions. So for years, we've had our transactions on intelligent transportation systems, but now we're going to start up a new transactions called the transactions on intelligent vehicles. So this will be more focused on the vehicle itself and the technology that goes on vehicles. But in addition, we're going to continue very strongly with the ITS transactions. So our society is growing, our membership is increasing, and we think by expanding out our research area and our transactions in these two areas will really be a big benefit to our members. So it's going very well as a society, and we expect to continue to grow.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for this interview. It's been really exciting. Thank you. Please keep on your hard work.
All right, Javi. Thanks very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, it is over. Sometimes you don't want it to stop, but we have to. Please feedback us with your comments. Do you have any suggestion for the show? Any interviewee or topic you want us to include? What are you waiting for? Let us know. Thank you. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, website designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain. Soundtrack developed by Rubicon, language advisory by Manuel Arbelo and Professor Song Williams from Clemson University, South Carolina. We'll be back soon bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening, and drive safe.